beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Vrilok, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Yes, welcome to my show. Riddle me this, Batman. What is a sheeple? Yes, well, tonight's podcast is titled The Riddler's Esoteric Enigma. Have you ever wondered why your parents seemed so damn crazy when you were a child? You ever feel a little confused when you turn on the television and hear one narrative that conflicts with what you see on the ground and all that is around you? Yes, as if we can't see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears, or think with our own brains. Why are there so many conflicting narratives? And when suddenly, as if by magic, all of the Umbrella Corps and tech giants start saying the same lines, the same narrative, and you're left scratching your head because, well, ordinarily, we've been conditioned to accept the world around us as a series of conflicting points of view and interest, and this would seem, well, rather normal. But then if you have a doubt, does that not mean you also have a question to pursue an answer to? We're going to talk about the Riddler's enigmatic road to truth in tonight's exciting episode of Planet Vrilok Psionics Podcast. So without further ado, let us begin. Yes, ordinarily conflicting views should trigger a question response from the greater body social. And yet, in today's world, the awakening general public instead finds all of us scrutinizing the surprising like-mindedness of all the tech giants and the umbrella corporations because, well, something is amiss if they're not bumping heads on societal and world issues here and there, now and then. Instead, they're all somehow miraculously on the same page. Humanity just doesn't operate this way. We're supposed to disagree. So, are we still talking human here? That does beg the question. You know, I think it was Gautama Buddha who had said that we should walk the middle path in order to escape bondage of this incarnation. Or this, this incarnation. Or something rather like that. The enigma of this world is an unsolvable puzzle. I should know. I've doused it many times with my pendulum, and it's one of the things that you can never get an answer to. It just keeps yielding the same answer. Enigma. Enigma. Alert. Alert. Green Lantern approaching. A rather ill-intended riddle designed to keep us moving in circles and circles. You ever see that movie Dark City? It's all about circles. Yes, well, ask your Freemason friends. The entire cosmos spins in circles, as do our minds and our rather restless hearts, eternally filled with anxiety, passions, and, well, so on. In, you know, is history biased? Sure, probably. I mean, human beings are indeed biased. And, well, it makes a certain degree of sense that those who wrote the history books would, well, also be biased, if not intentionally redirecting our thoughts and reshaping our individual views of the world around us into a collective organism, rather much like an egregore which steers the hive mind. We can point to inconsistencies in history by various means. Well, one mean would be, let's pick one. How about the deathbed confessions of those who served in the military, three-letter organizations, and those, more interestingly, who had knowledge of the Nazi plans, albeit one Otto Skorzeny was an insider of that Nazi party and very close to the leader of that body of minds. In fact, well, we're talking about Adolf Hitler's bodyguard. And Skorzeny had a box of photographs to prove it. I've seen the photos. If a picture isn't worth more than 1,000 words, then perhaps the smell of death is also sweet. And, well, it isn't. Doubtless the historian and author Webster Tarpley, the man who wrote down the deathbed clues given to him by Skorzeny, was not very appreciated by those culprits still living, and in particular in the United States, home of the military-industrial complex, both the United States and Europe. Do you believe that Skorzeny was alone in his operations? Well, far from it. We could presumably make a safe leap from one yarn to another thread in this matrix by researching the names of Paul Warburg. And that goes back to how money works between the United States and Europe, particularly how Europe can control the money in the United States, the name J.P. Morgan, and even going backward in time to places of interest for us who are occultists or would-be occultists, such names as Gregory A. Gregorius, the masters Pacitus and Therion, Aleister Crowley, of course, and follow their movements throughout history by the records left to us, recorded by their Pansophical Lodge, the OTO, the Templi Orientis, and of course the FS, the Fraternitas Saturni, also known as the Brotherhood of Saturn. And, you know, we can see how human weakness is often used as a tool of the trade for criminal psychology or the criminal masterminds of the world. And it's been this way for an age and an age. Yeah, you're possibly wondering if any of these names and societies form any kind of yarn that makes sense. But the real heart of the matter is that if you have a doubt or a suspicion of any kind, why is it that many of us feel no inkling at all to pursue the quest to satisfy that question? You have to have a question. It begins with a question. And that's the point of tonight's podcast. Yes, Google me this, fat man. I love saying that. That's just a twist on a line from, it was a line from an old television show called Batman. It was a silly show I watched as a kid. And the original line was something like this. Riddle me this, Batman. What is time when time's run out? You know, or something like that. And there's a bomb tick, 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 ticking in the background while Batman and Robin are strapped up in their tights. And, well, anyway, the point of the matter is to have a question. I see too many people and know many of my relatives simply do not ask a question. I mean to question a question to themselves. We don't have to go out into the streets and shout questions. We can simply sit at home and ask ourselves. You know, people will speak to me, both related and unrelated, as if they know the answers already. And they never bother to ask me for my opinion or to anyone else. And, you know, as if, you know, have I learned of any news or what my point of view might be? They never ask. Never. Never. And that's become the more common position or opposition, perhaps, that people find themselves in today. That is what I find most astounding of all. And sometimes they'll go out of their way to make questioning anything rather difficult for you. I am not interested in mindless entertainment. I enjoy artful entertainment, sure. I like to believe that I offer this artful approach to my telling of the story of my journey into the occult, and hopefully you'll find my comic style helpful for understanding some rather ordinarily difficult to comprehend studies of psionics and the esoteric knowledge. So in understanding the world around us, we must begin with the question. It cannot simply be told to us. We must first ask, and then have the patience to listen. This is the same in the pursuit of the magician initiate by contemplating symbology and meditating upon this, waiting for an intuitive answer. I'm going to take one question given to me by a prospective customer to my occult library. This customer asked me the following. Please tell me, why are your books so expensive? I can't afford them, and I cannot afford to subscribe to your club. End quote. Well, in answer to this question, I hope that you have taken the time to read my blogs, listen to my podcast, for which there are many, and possibly read my first two practical guides, the VPGs, the Metaphysics of Self-Mastery, and the Miraculous Prayer Board Guide. That is the first thing to consider. Now, as to being expensive, this is, as a matter of course, an opinion. If I'm going to sell my intellectual property, my opinion should come first. However, that does not mean that I have not given some serious consideration to my customers first. Far from it. I do consider my customers and guests who come to my website. That is why I feel my books are actually being sold well below their true value. Because I'm not just selling books. These are my life stories, and these are my discoveries. The occult, the real occult, and psionics knowledge is expensive to the general public. My books are not quite that expensive. There are rare books I'd like to have from, say, like abebooks.com. That's an extension of Amazon's more rare books, and from other occult libraries on the web, which are worth hundreds of dollars, and in some cases, thousands of dollars. I would like to have those. There is, and I have bought some. I bought back when the price of this particular book by Robert Stone, it was called The Magic of Psychotronic Power, it was $400 at some places. I got mine for like $100, $150. Now you can get that book for less, of course, because there's more prints available or something, or Amazon dropped the prices when I had written an article about that, and sooner or later the prices of that book rose. Now, I believe the book that I purchased was worth more than the $100 that I spent on it. I got a great deal for it. It's definitely worth a good $400 for that book by Robert Stone. And it's a good collector's item. The Magic of Psychotronic Power. Beautiful book. You know, there's also a school, an academy, which teaches astrology and all manner of the arcane arts in academia and hermeticism that's online, which interested me back in, I believe the year was 2010. And at that time, I could not afford to pay their tuition fee. However, I did not go out of my way to email them to complain about it. I simply had to realize that I was not in a position to afford what they had to offer. So I decided, well, I got to work harder and smarter to make my way into their ranks so that one day I can become a student and learn their arcane secrets. There's nothing wrong with this point of view. Now, I wouldn't write to the President of the United States to complain that I can't afford to go golfing at his golf clubs or his resorts. You know why? You know why? I'll tell you a little secret. Because if you have that state of mind, it places you in a position of inferiority and lack of power. Don't put yourself down just because you can't afford something today. Put some money aside in an envelope, put it in a drawer, and save up, you know, every week, once a month, or so on, until you can afford it. My books aren't going to disappear. They're going to be there for you months from now, years from now. So enjoy them. And save up for what you need. That's number one. If you cannot afford something, then set it aside until you can. Here's another answer to that question. I used to subscribe to the Apple Music Monthly, all you can listen to payments, and some other, you know, big umbrella company, tech giant stuff, you know, for the convenience of hearing music and getting artwork and this and that and this and that. Then I realized that I didn't need to be paying these fees to all of the umbrella corps that make decisions for us without our approval, by the way, and tech giants out there. The ones who are all on the same page miraculously, mysteriously, as if by magic, all saying the same thing. Or they should be disagreeing and arguing if they're in their right mind. Why do I need continuous free music or anything else if it conflicts with the software that I actually need to purchase in order to make my business run more effectively? Which is expensive, by the way. I pay a lot of fees for this. Can I live without a meager comfort like streamless music, streamless free movies, and garbage entertainment from any of the top tech companies or umbrella corporations in order to afford reading more that I really truly desire about the occult knowledge or about other things like radio tech, you know, home gardening, alternative living styles, and so things that interest me, how to's? Well, yes, I can cut off those things that I don't need. Number one, management of one's interests. Number two, management of one's expenses. Learn this now. Aside from these obvious points in case, I should also add that my personal journey into the discovery of the miraculous prayer board and my discovery of a hidden or less known energy field and magical node of power in Japan was not a quick stop by the ice cream man truck. I endured pain. I still endure pain, challenges, and I had to reflect on my own weaknesses. That's a hard thing to do. A lot of people don't want to look at themselves. I had to do that. And then come to a new resolve of mind and willful practice of psionics, magic, the runes, spirit crafting, communion with the land, the air, the sky, the oceans, and the mountains, and the ancient shrines. The ancient shrines and cemeteries hidden in the deeper, reclusive countryside of Japan. And before this, I faced challenges in Saudi Arabia when I was a child, in the underground subterranean with entities, and an endless assault by forces of the invisible world I didn't fully understand in my childhood. You know something? We're also encultured and couched into believing that God sends us angels in glittery, brazening brilliance, and it's all flowery. Well, my visions given to me as a child seemed rather indifferent to my being a child of innocence. Some of these visions were brutal, and I was afraid. This is a journey. So I know the universe isn't all good and nice to us all the time. There are, yes indeed, the spirits and protectors and ancestral spirits who can at times come to our aid. However, for the majority of life, we must also walk through the valley of darkness to learn. We learn by being challenged and grow into a self-aware entity of power for ourselves. That's the point. It's not about giving your power up to some other entity or religion. It's about empowering yourself, consciousness, raising consciousness, learning new methodology, discovering the esoteric knowledge, relying on the external wishy-washy fantasy of an old good overseer hasn't brought us out of what we are in right now. Look around. No, first look back in time. You know, my old mentor made a rather nasty post about, quote, Happy Bomb Day, end quote, and he was inferring to the bombing of Japan on August 6, 1945. It's rather ridiculous, I think, because I've personally stood at Ground Zero in Japan and visited their atomic dome where the aerial photographs, mannequins of people who have their skin hanging off their body, are arranged for people to come in and understand what happened that day of doom in history. I know some folks are a little too proud of that day, which is, of course, rather foolish, and I'm going to tell you why. Because long before that day of dropping the bomb, we had the Nazis entering the USA as far back as 1912 and certainly in 1913. What the hell were we doing letting them into our country, And now take a look out on the street or in Google webcam or in somebody's smartphone video of what is going on in the streets of cities across America and Europe. Are you happy that our nations are on the brink of civil war? Does that make you happy? No, I'm not impressed. This is part of the... It does tie into the military-industrial complex. Let's just take out the word military for a moment and call it what it is. It's called the industrial complex. Because this entity is not limited to the military, but has its tentacles in all industries. Any pursuit that you can think of, from engineering to academia to law enforcement, is linked to this yarn. There are no good guys. There are no bad guys. There's just you and me, and they should let us be. Yeah. You know, that song makes sense to me, too. Sorry for my gravelly singing voice. You cannot escape it by dancing and dangling from its puppet strings. Your fear and woe of how the world could possibly be so dark is what keeps you from changing the world to make it a better place. I don't believe people who try to pull the wool over my eyes and tell me we all live in a good and happy world. No. There are some nice people, yes. But we don't live in a perfect system. Not for free souls. This is a trapped world. Now, I'm not telling my listeners to get out there and get on the horn and shout on the streets. That is pointless. If you do that, you're doing the work of the enemy. There's already enough folks engaged in that activity. I'm no activist. I'm a psionicist, and I'm an occultist. I prefer the quieter approach. Because it's not really too much about just this world. It's about this world and the next. Our development, how we grow consciousness. If you'd like to take the journey with me for independent knowledge and use psionics to attain greater wisdom, make some changes in your life, then join me and understand the value of what I have to teach you. Thank you for joining me on Planet Verloc tonight and for your support. I do appreciate it, because without your support, this new thought movement is not possible. And until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is Tom Verloc, signing out.